Apostle Peter, about whom to you that are watching live and whose writing I was preaching on before this festival opened. Second chapter of his first letter said, "You're a chosen generation." All the New Testament takes that for granted. Called to be saints is what Paul expressed when he addressed the Corinthians. And a saint is one not necessarily perfect, because to the Ephesians he said saints needed to be perfected. The word means given over, committed to, offered as a possession of. You're called to be possessed and used and owned by God. A royal priesthood, a set apart nation. We're a nation with citizenship in heaven, a peculiar people. I remember a few times as a boy going to camp meetings where preachers made much of that phrase, a peculiar people. The Greek can only be translated with a picture. Draw it on a piece of paper or put it in the margin of your Bible. Draw a circle and then put a dot in the middle of the circle. And you will have the meaning of the word translated peculiar. It means that you have suddenly become the focus of God's attention. Every one of us, think of it. Not only called and chosen, a royal priesthood, made kings and priests unto God. A set apart nation with citizenship in heaven. But each of us as much in God's attention as a dot in the center of a circle. Now let that settle in tonight, wherever you are. You are that much in God's attention. It's to those people. He then speaks of our Lord, who did no sin, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Many times as we go to the table of the Lord, I point out the repetitiveness in God's word, linking divine healing with deliverance from the consequence of sin in the atoning or covering work of Christ. Here we have in the New Testament. There is nothing at all in the context of this record, nothing that would make Peter reach back and include the healing work of Christ. As there was nothing in the context of Isaiah 53 to make Isaiah reach forward and include it, except the constant record in God's book that where God is found being pictured, as well as the ultimate act of doing it, redeeming mankind, he puts the icing on the cake and reaches beyond the atonement for sin per se, and adds his grace or unmerited favor to a consequence of living in this sin-darkened world apart from the life of God until grace burst on the scene. In number 16, there's a picture of the atoning work of Christ, which we remember. as we go to the table of the Lord, as the Catholics go to Mass. A plague had killed 14,700 of God's people because of their sins. Aaron, as a type of Christ, the high priest, stood between the living and the dead and made atonement for them. The word means covering. There was physical healing, spiritual restoration. Numbers 21, their sin brought serpents in the camp. God punished them that way. And one of the most graphic types of what Christ did at Calvary, where he became the object of God's wrath and took our place as the sinner. It is the serpent itself that's lifted, the brazen serpent, brass always the symbol of judgment. Lifted up, and all who looked to that type of Christ our sin bearer were not only restored spiritually, healed. They didn't just put blood on the doorposts at the Passover in the Old Testament, which said blood contained the life of the soul, according to Leviticus 17:11, and which had value only because it represented life being poured out. They didn't just put blood on the doorpost, which was the token that caused the death angel at midnight to pass over the house that gave the name of the Jewish feast. They ate the roasted lamb inside, and they were all healed. Nobody, even the most cynical, would believe that 2.25 million people living in slavery wouldn't have a single cripple or sick one in their midst. Yet Psalm 105 says when they came out of Egypt, there was not a feeble one in their midst, not even feeble. They ate the roasted lamb inside the door. They were physically healed. When Isaiah paints the picture in descriptive words, he doesn't just have Jesus wounded for our transgressions. He lifts off of us our infirmities and carries the full weight of our sicknesses. And the Bible always footnotes itself to make sure nobody would mistranslate it, as the King James did. Matthew 8:17 translates it under inspiration of a New Testament writer of the Gospels, and has the healing of physical sickness described many times in the 8th chapter of Matthew as the fulfillment of that prophecy. Now, why is there bread and wine? Why two elements if only sin is in focus? Because he didn't just bear our sins in his own body. By his stripes you were healed. The bread symbolizes his bearing of our sicknesses. The wine, the outpouring of his life in payment of our sins. Now, there's healing for you tonight. We've already prayed. Now act in faith. Take this bread and say it with the Apostle Peter tonight. With his stripes I was healed. And take his healing in Jesus' name. All you got to do is look and be saved. We're made worthy because of what he did. And all you got to do is say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and take his grace, thanking him for it as we lift the cup. In Jesus' name.